Chevra, we are learning today in memory of, thank you, Matan Vinogradov. 20 of Yerushalayim fell, unfortunately, in combat in the northern Gaza Strip. Shem Yinkum Dama. I'd like to continue with one last quick point before we get to Malchus Beis David. The Prima Gadim adds a wrinkle to this conversation that we had talked about. Yesterday, we end with like a neat way of explaining the machloka. Should you go back if you're Masupik, if you didn't say Briska and Taras Hashadim Maratana? And it was a pretty neat way to explain it. What was the neat way? We said, listen, if it's Daraisa, then you go back. If it's Darabanan, you don't go back. Sabbat Daraisa Lukhama, Sabbat Darabanan Lukula. And we said that there are a number of Rishonim who say it's Daraisa. Most prominent amongst them, we said, is Tosos and Dabcha. That Briska and Taraska is Daraisa. That was clear in Tosos. And there are a number of Rishonim who say that it's Darabanan. And we said that if it's Daraisa Darabanan, right, that Machlokas would directly impact the case of Safek, Safek Daraisa Lukumra, Safek Daraisa Lukula. Right, so like that makes sense. What the Rosh Yosef, the Prima Gadim, in his commentary on the Gemara, adds to the conversation is a chiddush. Is written by the Prima Gadim. It's his running commentary on Gemara, not on Halacha. Prima Gadim is more famous for his commentary on Shulchan Aruch. The Rosh Yosef on our sugya suggests something a little bit out there, where he says, "Well, maybe even if Bris and Torah is Durabanan, perhaps the way the rabbis were mechayev us to say bris v'torah was that if you don't say it, they're going to be oker the din d'oraisa." Now, it's a very extreme way of looking at things. You find it from time to time. You do find this from time to time. That when the rabbanim insisted on their din d'rabanan, they insisted on it so far as to say that if you don't listen, you're not going to be yotze the mitzvah d'oraisa. I'll give you an example of this, which is very fascinating. What if a person said, "Hey, you know, I'm going to shake lulav on the first day of Yontif. I at Shabbos, I don't care. I'm going to do it." And he does it. So what do you think? Was he mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of netilas lulav? Because by Torah law, he's like, "I don't care. I'm doing it anyway." Even though the rabbi said not to, right? The Gemara says in many places, right, that you don't take lulav on Shabbos because it's a gezerah, shemiyah v'dalalos b'shur sarab, right? We're familiar with that idea. So there it's just sort of a little easier to understand, no? The guy says, I'm taking lulav on Shabbos. I don't care. No? What do you think? He's yotze the mitzvah d'oraisa or not? What do you guys think? So Zach's like, "No way, that's ridiculous. That makes no sense." But honestly, it's not pasha, right? Meaning, is that the same as the guy who misses briska v'taraska? Right? Because the rabbi said to say briska v'taraska.
It's like a asay that's contingent on a look asay. But I mean, both of those are
yeah, it's Rabbanan. It's all Rabbanan. So it's different. So I don't know. At first glance, I would have said the Prima Gadim is a little bit extreme, but then you think about other examples and you start to hear it a little bit more.
What was the example?
The example I gave was if you take lulav on Shabbos, even though the rabbi said not to, are you yotze the mitzvah d'oraisa? Should you say brach? Right? So
yeah.
It sounds bizarre, but it's an interesting shaila.
Or shofar?
Shofar would be a good example of this, correct?
Megillah
maybe. Well, right.
No, Megillah.
Right.
Megillah is different because Megillah is Darabanan.
Correct, but the concept is there. Right, that's true. So anyway, it's fascinating, Rosh Yosef. I wanted to share that, and that was just to tie up yesterday's point. I'd like to now move on, focus more on Malchus Beis David. And let's talk about Malchus Beis David for a few minutes. So, Malchus Beis David. Why do we talk about Malchus Beis David in Benjamin? Okay, so what did Rashi say? How did Rashi explain the need to say Malchus Beis David in Benching? Okay, so let's go back. Boni Yerushalayim. Why are we talking about Boni Yerushalayim and benching? No. What's the answer to that question?
Because
David sanctified the Boni Yerushalayim. Why do we talk about Boni Yerushalayim and benching? This is not a trick question. The Gemara says no. What does the Gemara say? Why do you say Binyan Yerushalayim and benching? Come on, this is not a trick question. Okay, so the Gemara is a drasha. Tova is a, this is a reference to Yerushalayim. Okay, fine. That's not complicated. But where is the reference to Malchus Beis David? Show me a pasuk that talks about Malchus Beis David. So here we have to be a little bit creative. What did Rashi say? So Rashi said what Sammy said, right? Look at Rashi on Memchasim and Beis. Malchus Beis David, Baboni Yerushalayim. Why? Sha'ayado niskatsha Yerushalayim. Ah, Reuven, no, Bishmak. You see Rashi? Memchasim and Beis. You'll see it, right? Rashi's Lashon is Sha'ayado niskatsha Yerushalayim. Right? Through this, niskatsha Yerushalayim. Sha'ayado niskatsha Yerushalayim. Have you here?
Yeah.
That's what it says. Sha'ayado niskatsha Yerushalayim. Go. According to Rashi, it would appear that the reason why we talk about Malchus Beis David, because David, Yerushalayim, it's all connected. The way Yerushalayim became Yerushalayim was through David HaMelech, and he was Mekadosh Yerushalayim. Okay. I ask you to see the Rambam. The Rambam gives a very different approach. Right, Jacob, you saw the Rambam. The Rambam appears in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Beis Halacha Dalet, where he goes through this. Let's look at the second line. He says, "V'chol mishalo amar malchus beis David." The bracha zu. Right, anyone who doesn't say malchus beis David in this bracha, right, this is immediately following Lufiga of Nikreis bracha zu nechama, which is also found in our Gemara. We haven't paid attention so much to it, but it appears in our sugyas. Right, that this bracha is called Nechama. V'chol mishloar malchus beis David bracha zu lo yatzi dechavasa. Why? V'pnei shehi inyan habracha. It relates very much to this bracha. She'in Nechama gemura ela b'chazaras malchus beis David. How does the Rambam explain the need to say malchus beis David and Boni Yerushalayim? What does he say? Because it's the inyan of this bracha. What's the inyan of this bracha? Interesting. I may not have said this, but what's the inyan of this bracha? The inyan of this bracha of Boni Yerushalayim is really about Nechama. It's about Nechama. The rebuilding of Yerushalayim.
So
Nechama, which is very interesting.
It was established by David and Shlomo, so obviously that wasn't the original intention.
Correct.
It was already
there. It was very interesting. But that's what he says. And once he establishes the inyan HaBracha, which is the Nechama Gemura, he says, Ein Nechama Gemura Ela B'Chazaras Malchus Beis David. Wow. There's a complete Nechama only with the return of Malchus Beis David. So that's a different approach than Rashi. Rashi says, why do we talk about Malchus Beis David? Because according to Rashi, El Yadon Niskatsha Yerushalayim. According to this, the Rambam, it's a totally different idea. It has nothing to do with being Mekadosh Yerushalayim. It has to do with Nechama and the return of David HaMelech and Malchus Beis David to Yerushalayim. The Meiri adds a point here. And just to skip to a little bit of the Meiri, he says in the second, third line, "Chol mishlo hizkir malchus beis David uberachas nechama lo yatzei dechavaso she'ein nechama shleima ela b'malchus beis David." A very similar expression. Very similar expression. What emerges from the machlokas Rashi and Rambam / Meiri is perhaps the fundamental machlokas. What is the nature of this bracha? For Rashi, I would imagine the nature of the bracha is one of Binyan Yerushalayim. Right? It has to do with the creation of Yerushalayim, the establishment of Yerushalayim, which we know happened at first, the very, very beginnings with David HaMelech, even though it wasn't completed. It was certainly, he began it, he was Mekadosh Yerushalayim. And for Rashi, we're talking about Yerushalayim, we talk about David HaMelech. For the Rambam, the ikar of this bracha, the mahus of the bracha, the yisod of this bracha, the fundamental essence of this bracha seems like one of Nechama. That's what it sounds like.
Okay. Rashi, David HaMelech.
For Rashi, it's about Binyan Yerushalayim. For the Rambam, it's about Nechama. Okay, now. It's curious. How would you look at Malchus Beis David and the entirety of Benchik? Meaning, what I'm trying to ask is the notion of Malchus Beis David really a benching thing? Does it have to do with benching? Is it about Brachas HaMazon? Does it relate directly to Brachas HaMazon? Or is it maybe a bit tangential to Brachas HaMazon, but we're talking about Yerushalayim, so we have to throw in Malchus Beis David? What I'm trying to get at is, do you see Malchus Beis David as being part of Mamish, like what benching is about? Is it a benching thing? Or, Jacob, is it more of a local, local idea to this bracha of Binyan Yerushalayim? Okay. Good. I want to ask the following question. It's a thought question. Let's talk about Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech, first king of the Jewish people. Rebbe Osai, did Shaul HaMelech say in his benching Malchus Beis David?
It's all a question that we asked about in Midbar, what did they say?
Okay, right.
They said all benching.
Right. Interesting, no? Like, what did he say? What did they say before? Right?
Shaul definitely wouldn't have.
So we saw in some Rishonim that David HaMelech, when he benched, he said, that we saw in Rishonim, he said and referenced Malchus Beis David, but not that it should be restored, it should continue. That we saw in Rishonim. It's just interesting to think about. Before David, like all these people who lived before David HaMelech.
Which means, how could it be a Dor Reis?
Another question would be.
It's recent.
Right. And then how could you say that it's Dor Reis to say Malchus Beis David? If it didn't exist. And I'm not even sure anyone knew about it. Did people generations before David HaMelech know there was going to be a David HaMelech? I'd imagine not. If they did, then they probably would have figured out that he was king way before they did, right?
Even Shmuel didn't know.
Very good. Even Shmuel first went with Eliab, and he had a whole list of seven boys that he went to try to figure out who should be the king, the son of Ishai. And it didn't seem like he knew. So you're going to tell me that generations before David HaMelech, they were already talking about Malchus Beis David in benching? Like, it sounds pretty bizarre. So it becomes increasingly difficult to argue that Malchus Beis David in benching is Daraisa.
It's different. So it's Yotze from the Klal of Eretz Chaim.
It's harder. It would be very difficult to say. Now, I'm not saying it's not part of the larger theme. You can try to work it into the theme like Rashi and maybe the Rambam, but to insist that you say Malchus Beis David, it's hard.
Yeah, maybe it's Lav Dafka Beis David, but like Malchus in, like, that's been a theme for...
But Stam Malchus doesn't have anything to do with Yerushalayim. Right? Meaning Shaul HaMelech was never king in Yerushalayim.
How did they know it was Yerushalayim? How did they know it was Yerushalayim was going to be where it was? Like, going back into the question, how is it funny Yerushalayim? How is the whole Indian of Yerushalayim? Like,
you're saying in the desert. How did they even talk about Yerushalayim? Where was Yerushalayim? Who knew about Yerushalayim?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's difficult. But we did say, according to Tosos, that Minyan Brachos Daraisa, and the Pashup Shad is that there are three Brachos, three themes, the third of them being Yerushalayim as top. And the Pashup says, Alar is a Tova. Tova is a reference to Yerushalayim. It actually is very difficult.
So, but it wasn't called Yerushalayim until it was called Yerushalayim.
Right. That's a very difficult Shaila. Right, you hear the Shaila. How could it be Daraisa? And yet, there was no Yerushalayim. It's a very difficult child. It's a very difficult child. No, Ruben, how do you? I don't know the answer to that question. It's a very difficult child.
How do they know about Mikra?
No.
Same thing.
No. I'm not sure. But Yerushalayim is, it's hard to explain. Okay. So, now, just
well,
to sort of. All right. Yeah, you can always, say that. That's always an option. Okay. Yeah, it's always an option. Now, according to Rashi, we say Malchus Beis David because he was Mekadesh Yerushalayim. Curiously, it's interesting. Is there Kedushas Yerushalayim today? Did the Kedusha of Yerushalayim that began with David HaMelech last throughout the generations, throughout the ages, throughout the millennia?
More on the
Yeah, it could be based on sources. It's probably Machlokas Rambam and Raivit that I asked you to see. The Rambam is especially important. Let's read that together. Where the Rambam writes, "Kamakom shlo nasa b'chaleilu chaseder hazeh in kiddush gomer." If you don't follow these things that are prescribed, so it lacks kedusha gemura. V'zeh she'asa Ezra shtei todos zicharenu she'asa lo b'ma'asa v'nizkarash hamakom. What Ezra had done wasn't the actual kiddush. Shaloya sham lomelach lo'urim v'tumim. Right? What Ezra did when he came back after Galus Babel wasn't the whole thing. Right? To bring the kedusha to that wasn't real because he lacked the melach. There was no king. There was no urim v'tumim at that point. So then uvaman is gotcha. So then, how was their kedusha? Right, where was the Kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim when Ezra came back and rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash? Says the Rambam famously, the Kedusha Rishona Shekitcha Shlomo. The Kedusha Rishona that came from Shlomo, Shehu Kidesh HaAzar of Yerushalayim L'Sha'atan V'Kitchan Asid Lavo. He was the one who was Mekadesh, the Azar, which is the area of the Beis HaMikdash, and Yerushalayim, L'sha'atan, which we know is for that time, meaning for the time that they were there, and L'asud Lava. All right? That's the Rambam. And the Rambam says that this Kedusha has been maintained throughout the entire history of the Jewish people. Once Shlomo was Mekadesh, Yerushalayim, and the Azara, the Kedusha never wavered. Now, this is a big discussion. This is exactly that question. Where the Raivit famously disagrees. And he says, it's not true. He says, it's not true. He says, no, that the notion of Kedusha or Kitcha Rishona, Kitcha L'Shaita V'lo Kitcha L'Asad Lava, which is how we paskin, that the Kedusha of the Eretz Yisrael was Niskadesh L'Shaata and not L'Asad Lava. They needed a new Kedusha by the second Commonwealth, when the second Beis HaMikdash was built, they needed to instill a second Kedusha into Eretz Yisrael. And that's how we pass, and that's how the Rambam paskins. Right? The Rambam paskins, Kedusha Rishona of Eretz Yisrael, is Kitcha L'Shayit Devalola Asid Lava. And how was there a new Kedusha? So that was with Ezra, and he was Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael on a second Kedusha. And there was a time between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash where there was what we'll call basically no Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Now, there is a lot to discuss on that, but basically, there was no Kedusha. Says the Raivit, well, that psak, which is how we paskin, the Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha Rishona, the Lokesh Lasa Labo, he says it's not different, right? Be Mikdash, Yerushalayim, L'Shar Eretz Yisrael. There's no difference between Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael. If you hold Kitcha L'Shaita below Kitcha L'Asa Lava, it's true about all three. And therefore, Reuven, according to the Raivit, right, according to the Raivit, there was no Kedusha on Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, right, at that time, between, right, exactly. So, and then he adds a Chiddush, and he says, and even if you say that Kedusha Shnia Kitcha L'Asad Lava, which is also how we paskin, he adds a chiddush that was only true about the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim, the Mikdash, not true. Now that's a massive chiddush. There he's saying literally the opposite. He's saying that I paskin kedusha shniya kitchel shaita v'kitchel asavavo, but not about the Beis Hamikdash, not about Yerushalayim. And then he says, and how do I know that? Kach nigla li misod Hashem li Rav. You rarely ever see this in Rishonim and Poskim. The Ravid was known to be a Makubo. He says, I know this through a secret that was revealed from Hashem to those who fear Him. Now, the problem when someone says that is you can't disagree. How do you disagree, Jacob, with that line like that? The Ravid tells you, I know that there's no Kedusha on the base of Mikdash today. I know there's no Kedusha in Yerushalayim today. Why? It's a secret Hashem revealed to me. Game over.
It's like a scientific point.
Game
like,
over.
If you can't prove it, you can't disprove it.
Game over. And then he writes, Lufika chanechnas ata Hashem, ein bo karis. And that's the famous line that the Ravid says, and that's why he says, and if you go on to the Beis HaMikdash Temple Mount today, there's no karis.
That's already possible.
Now, no one really paskins this like the Ravid and Ramish. When we talk about going up to Har Bayis, we do not mean going up to the places that are inaccessible to us, according to the Rambam. Chas v'shalom. Meaning, we won't say, oh, nowadays you can go into the Al-Aqsa, you know, church, mosque, whatever. That is, no one's going to tell you you can do that. Because we don't assume like the Ravid just like that. Now, maybe we'll use it as some sort of, you know, basis, but when we say we go up to Har HaBayis, what we mean is that you go to mikvah, okay, and you're allowed to go to areas in Har HaBayis that when you're Tame, but not fully Tame, right? We're all Tame Mace. So, right? So you can't get rid of that. But people who are Tame Mace can go to certain parts of our bias. They can't go into certain parts of Beis HaMikdash, right? So we assume, so it's a side point, really, about this question. But the Ravid is important because it makes it a little easier to go all the way up, right? That is a very famous Ravid, okay? Some debate what the Ravid meant, Ein Bokaris, does it mean that there's totally Heter Gomer, some want to say that there's still an Isser. Okay, that's a lot of debate, not our debate, nothing to do with us. So, what I'm bringing up though, this is a very important point. A very, very important point. Well, let me say one small thing here, which is, what would you say according to the Rambam Ravid? I don't know, today. There's no Kedushas Yerushalayim. According to the Ravid. I don't know, it's just interesting. What would you say, you know, when you talk about Yerushalayim?
According to the Rambam, there is.
According to the Rambam, there is, right.
So what does that mean for living there? I mean, I don't know what the implications of that would be.
Yeah.
So we passing that there is no Kedusha?
No, I don't think we pass like the Ravid.
How are you passing?
I believe we passing more like the Rambam, that there is, but just interesting to think about, especially according to the Ravid, you know, that there may be no Kedusha Yerushalayim today. I'm talking about, you know, benching and referencing this Malchus Bistav,
which is the Rashi, the
Kedusha. I think we use it as like a sniff, but I don't believe most poskim go with the Ravid. Okay. Now, I asked you to see the Rishima Shiurim, which I thought was a pretty beautiful shtickle Torah. And the reason why I asked you to see it is because it has a lot to do with this Rashi. Rashi had said, why do we say Val Malchus based on the Shichacha? How did Rashi explain? What did Rashi say? Rashi said very simply, he said, listen, David was Makadosh, Yerushalayim, makes sense to mention Malchus based on David. Problem is that if you look at the Rambam that we just read, what did the Rambam say? Who was Makadosh, Yerushalayim?
Shlomo.
So now we have a little bit of a conundrum. So who was the real Makadosh of Yerushalayim? Was it David? Was it Shlomo? Who was Makadosh, Yerushalayim? No? Difficult to know, right? is it a machlokas? Is that what's happening here? Is it a machlokas between Rashi and Rambam?
It's between Dov and Shalom.
Right. Well, Rashi says that the Dov was Mekadosh Yerushalayim.
Is there an idea that they say
Dov
did because he had the intentions
that he didn't actually? Well, in terms of the building base of Mekadosh, he didn't actually build the base of Mekadosh, but he wanted to. But in terms of the Yerushalayim, he was successful in. Talking about Yerushalayim here. Who was Mekadosh Yerushalayim? Rashi says it was David. Rambam seems to say it was Shlomo. So I guess Pasha Peshat would have been it's a Machlokas, Rambam and Rashi, who was Mekadosh Yerushalayim. However, the Rav of Soloveitchik in Rosh Yeshiva Shiurim makes this point where he points to what seems to be a Machlokas, and he ends up saying that really, in a classic Brisker style, there are two levels of Kedusha, or Tzveidinim in Kedusha. Call it what you want. He says, in again, pretty classic style, there's Chalos Kedushas Mikdash. That's Aleph. And Beis is Chalos Kedushas Beis HaBechira. Okay, now you have to be reading this carefully to understand the difference. That's a very nuanced difference. What's the difference between Kedushas Mikdash and Kedushas Beis HaBechira? Right, let's just translate the words. What's Mikdash? I mean, Mikdash, how do you translate Mikdash?
Place
what was that?
Six things.
Okay, so the Mikdash would be called the. Okay, I guess we could just say Temple Mount, the Temple. Okay, the. Now, Beis HaBechira is a unique name. What is that name? What does Bechira mean?
Chosen.
It's the chosen, right? It's the house that's built on the chosen. Right, it's the house that was chosen. So he suggests.
One more calling, one more practice.
Well, look what he says. He says, "Va'achilok b'nei who the chalos kedushas hamikdash tluya bechefzah shel beis hamikdash." Right, a lot of brisker terminology. He says that when we talk about chalos kedushas mikdash, that has to do with literally the beis hamikdash. Is there a beis hamikdash? There's a chalos kedushas mikdash. If there's no beis hamikdash, then there's no chalos kedushas mikdash. Does it mean that there's no Kedusha B'chlal? So that he says no. He says, Kedushas Beis HaBechira is the Chalos Kedushas Makom Bahara Moriah La'olam. Okay? That is a eternal Chalos Kedusha, which is forever. U'lechein Ach Mishinechra Beis HaMikdash U'bal La'Kedushas HaMikdash. And even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we need Kalmachum Nasru Abamos Machmas Chalos Kedushas Beis HaBechira Shechala B'Machmas Shulun Esbala. Right? Once the Beis HaMikdash was built, according to the Rambam, the Chalos Beis HaBechira is there La'Ola. That Kedusha is there La'Ola. So much so that you can't use any more Bamos. Right? Because we know that before the Beis HaMikdash was built, by Mishkan Shiloh, right? So bamos were allowed when the Mishkans
right,
weren't operated,
right?
But that was for the reason that makes clear is because when the Mishkan was no longer operating, there was nothing. Versus Beis HaBechira, where even if there was no Beis HaMikdash and no Chalos Mikdash, there was a Chalos Beis HaBechira. There was the Chalos Kedusha, which continued. And because of that continuation, you couldn't bring bamos in other places. And he brings, Varayel is that Shari Avul Das Arayvet the Sover Kedusha Rishonah Kitzel Shaitim Lo Luhasu Lavo. Right, even the Rebbe who says the Kedusha Rishonah was L'Shat Avul Luhasu Lavo Mishenachem Abayis Bala Kedusha's Beis Hamikdash, and the Rebbe would say that there's no longer Kedusha's Beis Hamikdash. V'Anech Nazat L'Makom Hamikdash Ein Abikaris Mikom Makom Sover D'Nesra Abamos. Right, even the rabbi would agree that you can't bring, right, karbanos and bamos. Right? You can't do that. So he says, even the rabbi has this idea. Mishum kolos kedushas beis hachira shechala b'makom hamikdash l'doros. Even the rabbi agrees that there is something here, and that's what he ends here by saying, "Lufi zanira gloma de kedushas beis hamikdash bechatza d'habayis miskatcha idei shlomo hamelach shabanas d'habayis." The special Kedusha that is on this mountain, that has to do with the Beis HaMikdash, well, that was done by Shlomo. However, the Kedusha's Beis HaBechira, the Kedusha that was not tied to the Mikdash, but tied to the ground, tied to the makom that was instilled or invested through David HaMelech's
work. So there's
a different
effect on the makom.
Basically. When he says chavtza, I think he means
on the actual physical base of Mikdash is what I
But it's clear that it expands to the area around them, right? Because we're talking about Yerushalayim yet.
We're talking about all.
So yeah, we're talking about Yerushalayim, right? And yet, according to the Rambam, right, what Shlomo HaMelech did, right, what Shlomo HaMelech did was temporary in that as long as the base of Mikdash was there, there was Kedushas Mikdash to the Mikdash, the Chatz Shal Mikdash, but also Kedushas Mikdash that spread to the area around it in Yerushalayim, which evaporates and goes away once the base of Mikdash was destroyed. And with that, he concludes by saying, Lufizem Yishavim Divei Rashi, the Yerushalayim Niskacha Al Yedei David, to return alone with the David Kiddush as Kedushas Beis HaBechira. And with that, he wants to be Miyashiv, say that Rashi and the Rambam are not in disagreement, they're talking about two different Kedushas. Okay. I'd like to move on and address the next part of the Gemara sort of head on. We addressed it sort of from the side, from other places. But let's talk about Bris V'Torah. Okay, so the Gemara ends up saying in the bottom of Memchas and Beis, right, Nachum Azakin Omer, Tzarech Sheyizkara Bris, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tzarech Sheyizkara Torah. Plimo says, Tzarech Sheyikdom Bris L'Torah, Shezu Nitna B'Sholosh Brisos, Vezu Nitna B'Gimel Brisos. Rabbi Abba Omer, Tzarech Sheyomer B'Hodah, Tchila B'Sof, just a little bit of an aside, you have to say Noda and Nachumodim Lach, at the beginning, at the end, V'Apoches, L'Yivchos Mi'Alef, Mi'achad, you can't say less, right, than one, at least one reference of Noda, V'Chal Apoches, Mi'achad, Reiz Meluna. If you do less than one, it's a disgrace. Chalachose man chalartas beberchas haaretz moshiyas Yisrael v'bon Yerushalayim erez ebur. If you don't get the endings right, you're an ignoramus.
Rabbi, by the way, yeah. In the Girsa you read yesterday, one of the things where we in the Makaras, we didn't use bor, we used
Martz.
Do you remember what I'm talking about? I was going to say this yesterday, but I didn't.
What word do you remember? Which word is it?
It doesn't use the word bor.
Maybe I'm arts. What I remember now.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, they're probably synonyms. If you don't say bris v'torah and berachas arts, you don't say malchus beis david and bonu yishalayim lo yatzei dechavas. Okay, so this is. This is our Gemara. Now, let's again address head on. Why is it that we're saying Bris V'Torah in Betcha? First glance, it really does seem out of place. What Shaychas Aryeh do we have? Does this have to Betcha? No? Like, well, what does it do with Betcha?
He uses Megona twice.
What's that?
The Ra'ah uses Megona twice.
What's the word?
Megona, like the same thing before her is Megona.
Oh, Megona, okay. Oh, I see. Oh, okay, got it. Okay, got it. Okay. Scarf, that's a good R. Now, the tour says like this. This is in Kuf Pei Zayin, right? He's talking about the Sarat Lahask of a Torah, and he says, Shebezuchus HaTorah Yarshu HaAretz V'lo Ba Lachlo Elohos. Okay? So, he says, Bezuchus HaTorah Yarshu HaAretz. So now we're beginning to see why we're saying Al Taras L'Shaluv HaNatanu in Eretz Yisrael. What does he say? He says, I'll tell you why. Because it was with the Zechus HaTorah that we were able to be Yorish, the land of Israel. So we're beginning to see a connection. Why we talk about Torah in Berachos HaMazon, which is about Eretz Yisrael. Because Bizchus HaTorah Yorshu HaAretz. And then he adds, well, interesting, which is interesting. Everyone is in agreement with each other. You have to say, Bizchus HaTorah Yorshu HaAretz. You have to say, Torah HaShidu Manetan. Now let's ask the question, which is, It makes sense according to the Torah, but how do you know you have to do that? Where's the source? What would be the source? Is it a Doraisa din to say bris v'torah and benching? Right? Would you say, Matt, that in that Torah you have to say bris v'torah? Show me a pasuk that tells us that. Show me a pasuk that teaches us you have to say bris v'torah and benching. Where is the source for such a thing? And I guess you can ask that question about bris, about Torah, and even Plimo's peculiar halacha, tzarech shiach and bris v'torah. You know, what kind of idea is that? Is that a daraisa halacha? Sounds pretty extreme.
With the source for bris v'torah?
Yeah. Now, I would add just another question here. When you say you have to mention Torah, what are we talking about to mention Torah? Are we talking about anything specific about Torah? Just mention the word Torah. Is it maybe particular to the Kabbalah Satorah? Is it just the idea of Torah? When we say you have to mention Torah and benching, like what? Just Torah?
Maybe from this you should learn that you should mention how does the chosin of Torah got your Yisrael.
You should mention
how does chos of Torah got your Yisrael.
But we don't really do that either, right?
I'm saying that.
Yeah, we don't elaborate. We just say, that's the whole thing. What are we saying? Like, what are we trying to say? What are we getting at? What are we referring to? So, it's interesting. When Rashi explains it, he adds a line to the Torah. Says Rashi, Tzarech Yizkor b'Torah, this is on our sugya, She'af b'schus ha'Torah v'ha'mitzvos yorshu es ha'aretz, and he quotes the pasuk in Dvarim Parachas. So he adds what we saw on the Torah, that b'schus ha'Torah yorshu ha'aretz. He adds a word. What is that word? She'af b'schus ha'Torah v'ha'mitzvos. That was interesting. Af b'schus ha'Torah v'ha'mitzvos. If I'm understanding Rashi correctly, what Rashi is getting at is that we have to mention nothing to do with Kabbalah Satorah. Right? It's not about Kabbalah Satorah. This is about the zechus that the Torah and its mitzvos, you know, give us in the land of Israel. I think, in the sense, it has to do with Kabbalah Satorah. It has to do with the fact that there is Torah of mitzvos, and therefore we mention it here. It's appropriate to mention here. Okay. Now, I did notice an interesting line in the Beis Yosef in Simon Kuf Pei Zayin. And he's referencing a shita which is quoted in the Kolbo from the Ravid, that says, Nashim and Avadim don't say this, because Nashim la b'nei bris ninu, v'avadim la b'nei Torah ninu. Okay? I'll say that again. Beis Yosef writes a shita that the women and slaves don't mention bris choshech asam to v'sreinu or toras choshech manatanu. Women don't say it because they're not b'nei bris, they don't have bris mila. Avadim don't say it because they don't have Torah. Okay, that's what he quotes here from the Kolbo, again, in the name of the Rive. Now, the Beis Yosef does not like it. What does he say? He says, v'tamahani, da avadim isnu b'mitzvos. What are you talking about? Avadim don't have Torah? What are you talking about? They most certainly do have Torah. After all, we know, we've discussed this many times, that Avadim, an Eved Kenani, comes an Eved Kenani, is chayav in mitzvos ki isha. Right? He certainly has Torah and he certainly has mitzvos. So what are you talking about? Okay? That's what he says. They have Torah and they have mitzvos. So now, in the Beis Yosef, there seems to be an emphasis on mitzvos, which is what our question was. When we talk about Torah and benching, are we talking about the receiving of the Torah? Are we talking about the mitzvos haTorah? And in the Beis Yosef, you get a little bit of a sense that we're talking about the mitzvah satorah. And that's his question.
Absolutely.
So shouldn't Avadim be able to say it? What do you mean they're not B'nai Torah? They certainly are chayiv in mitzvos, just like a woman's chayiv in mitzvos. So that's the question of the Beis Yosef. Now, the flip side, Rashi, I noticed, in the longer Rashi on the bottom of Memchas says, Torah nitna b'sholosh brisos. What does Rashi say? B'sholosh mekomos nitna Torah liyisra. Now, what is that? And he goes on, he explains. Now, what does that make you... What does that sound like?
That sounds like Kabbalah
Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah, right? Rashi there is focusing on Kabbalah Satorah, the fact that we receive Torah three times. That sounds like Rashi's focused on the uniqueness of Torah, is that it had been given to us three different times, right? And there was a covenant on each of the three times. But it's focused on the Kabbalah Satorah, not so much on the... Just, I guess, the Torah, the mitzvahs of Torah. Now, the Mi'iri, in the base of Bechira, of Memchas in the base, skip to the end over here, I think I gave it to you. He says, V'tzarech lahaskir, says the Mi'iri, yeah, you have it, let's skip to the end. V'tzarech lahaskir ba Torah lehodiya shebesuchos haTorah miskayemet biyadam. Wow. Wow.
So what does he say?
He says, you know why you have to give, you know why you have to mention Torah and mention? Listen to what he says. Lehodia, to teach you. Lehodia. Shebezechus haTorah. Miskayemas v'yada. Wow. All right, what a line, no? Says the Meiri, you know why? It's to inform you. To teach you, to make it known that it's the zchus of Torah that the Jewish people have Eretz Yisrael. He quotes the pasuk, "Vayitain lahem artzis goyim ba'avur yishmu chukah v'saros v'yinzer." It's because you listen to the Torah, you follow its laws, you follow its chukim, you follow its commandments. Therefore, Hashem watches over and gives you artzis goyim, and gives you the land of what used to be other nations. That Eretz Yisrael is ours because the Zchus HaTorah. And I would add that when he talks about the Zchus HaTorah here, I believe he means the Zchus of the Shmiras Chukim. It's listening to the mitzvah. It's following the mitzvahs. So it sounds like. Wow. Wow. Unbelievable, no? Right? It's unbelievable. No, this is saying that you know why we have Eretz Yisrael today? It's because we're keeping mitzvahs.
Which law
of
the
Gemara
Makos?
What was that?
Which law of the Gemara Makos that the army and the Talmud
Torah? That what?
That the army and the Talmud Torah.
That they have to learn.
To keep the army.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, it's a very. Flare up in Eretz Yisrael about.
Yeah.
Whatever, it's becoming an issue again. It's always an issue, but in terms of army and learning, now it's becoming a whole thing, right? About going to the army. But you know, the Miri says that b'zchus Torah, it doesn't really mean learning Torah. I don't think that's what he means. I think he means keeping the mitzvot of the Torah. Because of that, we have Eretz Yisrael. That's what he says. And if that's the case, it makes a lot of sense why you want to mention Torah in benching. No? Jacob, you hear it? It makes a lot of sense why we mention Torah in benching. Right? Because it has to do not just with getting the land of Israel, but it's holding on to the land of Israel. Okay, that's what he says. The Rabbeinu Menelach says it a little bit differently, more consistent with the tour that we saw earlier. Rabbeinu Menelach says, because of this, because of Bris, Torah nichnesu la'aretz, okay, which is closer to the language of Rashi in the Torah earlier, that it's because they entered in because of Torah.
Because of both,
but I'm focused for a moment on Torah. Torah said b'schus haTorah yarshu la'aretz, and that's what Rabbeinu Noach's lashon. Okay.
Yarshu la'aretz was that was
the lashon that we saw in the Torah. Okay. Nachum Azakein. Nachum HaZaken. What did Nachum HaZaken say? Nachum HaZaken said, Tzarech Sheyizkor B'Bris. Okay, so says the Rosh that Nachum HaZaken, you know, says what he says. He is not in disagreement with Rabbi Yossi. Right, this is not a machlokas, but rather the Rosh says, Mara machada, they both agree. Okay, so everyone agrees to each other according to this, according to Rosh, that you have to say both. Fine. Now, Tosos, just as in this quick Tosos here, Tosos in the bottom of Chasim Bey says, Bris V'Torah. In Tarech Lahaski, Bris V'Torah V'Chayim U'mazon, D'day Lahaski, Al Bris Chashek L'Sam, V'Sarayinu, Val T'Rasal Shalim Maratano, D'haynu Bris V'Torah V'Gumara L'Simda V'Almanakta. Right? The Tosos is dispelling. Don't walk away from this Gemara thinking you have to say this language, Bris V'Torah. Right? It says Tosos, that's not what the Gemara had in mind. The Gemara has in mind you have to touch on these, I guess, themes, that's the right word. You have to mention these ideas. It doesn't mean you have to actually say it this way. You have to touch on these themes. So Bris Torah, you have to touch on both of those themes. You don't have to say it Bris V'Torah. You can say it the way we say it, Briska Shakasan of Sarainu Atrasa Shimatana. Now if you look at the Rambam's Nusakh of Berkh Samazon, he says it a little bit differently. His Nusakh of Berkh Samazon is Bris Torah Chaim Azon, and it's a pretty like straightforward Gemara of ours. Basically quotes the language of our Gemara, and he says that's what you say. I think I mentioned it again to Jacob this morning. I thought that there are some people who do it that way. I'm not sure yet who they are. Fine. Now, there's a whole other segment to this Gemara, which is the Gemara on Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph. Turn there quickly. Okay, let's turn to that Gemara quickly. On Mem Tes Amud Aleph. And we'll start. We'll have to finish this, I guess, each Monday. It's a long way away. But just to introduce, to talk about what this is, you know, we've been beating home this idea you have to say Bris Chashek Hassan Bris Rehan Tvah Shalim Manatana. Right? We've been saying that again and again. And no one seems to have disputed that. And then you turn to the Test of an Aleph and you see something totally different. Right? We all saw the Gemara where the Gemara gives a story, right? The Gemara gives a story where Reb Zera reports that he once went to the Reish Galusa and he benched. And after he benched, or while he was benching, Rav Sheshes, like, he totally, like, she was, like, shocked and he stood up, he sat up straight like a snake.
Okay.
So Rav Sheshes sat up straight. He was like totally shocked, like a snake. And the Gemara tries to figure out what was so shocking. The Gemara says the Lo Amri, and this is him reporting. This is Rav Chisra of Zera, who says Lo Amri Lo Bris Lo Torah Lo Malchus. Okay, interesting. No, he didn't say Bris Torah or Malchus. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Why didn't you do that? And the Gemara says, well, I hold like Rafanan al-Marab, Damar Rafanan al-Marab, Lo Amar versus Torah Malchus, Yatsa. And the Gemara explains why. So this, I mean, it'll be too much to really talk about. So we'll have to round this out next time on Monday. We'll see. It's not a Pasha thing, what we're seeing in our Gemara. We'll dive it out. It's not a Pasha. But yeah, that's what it says. So,